I want you to go to John chapter 6. You know, we've been in John and can't get enough of John. And I just was passing through again. Each time I pass through it, I'm really, really understanding the heart of his ministry now. How straitened he was to do the Father's will. I mean, he was pumped. More than that, he was so set on doing what the Father wanted him to accomplish, and he did it. He finished it. But today we're going to look at some very interesting scriptures from this chapter. We're going to begin in verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father has given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven. This was the big problem they had. It's like, no, we can't believe that. Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39, this is the Father's will which has sent me. Look at 40. This is the Father's will that has sent me. Two times he says this, and I never got this in 20 years. This is the will of the Father that sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Now, in the second part of this teaching, I'm going to get into that part. But should raise it up again at the last day. See that? Raise it up again at the last day. Look at verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and may have everlasting life, and may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, look at the last part of verse 39. I will raise him up at the last day. The last part of verse 40, I will raise him up at the last day. And in case you didn't get it those two times, he repeats it again in verse 44. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent him draw him. Boy, I had a problem with that scripture. I'll get into that the second part of this message. And I will raise him up at the last day. So obviously he wanted you to know that he's going to raise you up at the last day. I'm like, okay. Praise God. We all know that. Amen. We're going to be raised up in the last day. Right? We're going to be raised up. My problem was, I wanted to know what that last day meant. Exactly when is that going to happen? Is that going to happen at the sound of the trump? Is that going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? Is that going to happen at the great white throne judgment? Is that going to happen someday in the future? I need to know when I'm going to get raised up. It'd be nice to know when you're going to get raised up. Amen. So I said, Lord, what is this that he said, this is the will that him sent me. But he that believeth on him will receive everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And I'm like, you said this three times. Obviously, it's kind of important. This is the will that I will raise him up in the last day. This is the will. If you really get into John, he is straitened in that book. I mean, he is on a mission to do his Father's will. And here he specifically states his will three times. This is the will of him that sent me. And I will raise you up in the last day. So I had to get to know, what is this last day? Now, what does the last day mean to you? Most of us are going to project that sometime out into the future. Because it has last day attached to it, right? So sometime I'm going to get raised up. Meanwhile, am I not raised up now? So am I waiting to get raised up? I mean, I don't want to wait to get raised up because there's a whole other part of the scripture that tells me I'm already raised up. So where's he raising me up if I'm already at the right hand? How can he raise me back into the right hand? You understand? He said, you were raised together with him in Ephesians 2:6, made to sit together with him. Past tense already happened if you're born again. So what's he going to raise me when I get to the right hand at the last day, how much further can I get raised up if I've already been raised up? You see what I'm talking about? It's like, how can you raise me up if I've already been raised up? See what I mean? See the questions I kind of have. I say, so it's the last day. What are you going to do? How much further are you going to get me than I already am? That's a question. All right. I built it. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's look at verse 22. He has some remarkable things to say in this passage of Scripture. Hebrews 9, verse 22. He's talking about him being the priest of the heavenly tabernacle. And as the priest would come in once every year, it was signifying the way to the holiest of all was not made manifest because they had to keep making the sacrifice. But this one was going to make one sacrifice. This is what we're speaking of. Hebrews 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ does not enter into the holy of places made with hands, not in the tabernacle built by man, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. He said he was our high priest. It passed into the heavens. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. For not yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Stop. He said, look, he came in once. The high priest had to come in year after year, and it was signifying that way was not made yet perfect. He didn't have to come in year after year after year. He came in once, and he passed into the heavens to make the final sacrifice. Now watch this. Verse 26. For then must he had often had suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, everyone say, but now, once in the end of the world, have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself? For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Did y'all see that? So when did he make the sacrifice? He made it in the end of the world. Isn't that what he just said? But the end of the world hadn't come. But it did come. There was an end of the world. Do you see that? Now, this is very important to understand when he's going to raise you up in the last day. Everyone has their last day, you know. The world system, when man was birthed in the Garden of Eden. Man walked with God in the cool of the day. Man was spirit. He connected with the Father in spirit. When man fell, it was really the birth of the world system, and the devil became the god of the world system. When Christ came into the holiest of all and offered his blood once, he said he offered it at the end of that system. And what he was saying there is when you receive him, the part of you that you were born in, and he told Nicodemus, he said, look, a man, you got to be born of water and the spirit. Born of the water is you're born in the earth, but you're going to have to be born again into the spirit. And Nicodemus had a struggle with that. He said, you're going to have to be born of the Spirit too, Nicodemus, because what's working in you was dead. That system was dead. And the day you get born again, you pass from death to life. Translates you out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That part of you that day was the end of the world as your old man knew it. Did you see that? The day you gave your life to Christ, you were an old creation. When you were translated out of darkness into his marvelous light, that was the end of the world for you. End of the world system, because that man no longer belongs to that system. Your body and your soul, they follow along. Your body's going to get glorified. But your spirit, the person of who you are, God declared an end of it that day. It's the end of the world. The day you were born again, passed from death to life, it was the end of the world. You got it? When you received it, there's an end. You don't belong. You're not of this world any longer. That man died. In fact, if you want to know the truth, he went down with the Lord. You were buried with him in baptism. And then when he was raised, you were raised up with him. And when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, you sat down. All that happened the day you were born again. This is the will of him that has sent me. I will raise him up in the last day. Your last day was the last day your old man walked the face of the earth. I come to do his will, to call an end and bring an end to the last day of the carnal man on the earth. The old man. Isn't that awesome? Let's go back and read that again. Oh, I love it. This is what gives me kicks. I came down from heaven, John 6:38, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I'm here to call a last day upon the old man. Remember, he told his disciples, you're not of this world. They were of the world at one time, so there was a last day to a part of them. Isn't that happen? And I will raise him up. This is the Father's will that sent me. Of all that he's given me, I should lose nothing, but I shall raise it up. Now, notice what he said, I'll raise it up again. The first time he said, I'll raise it up again. Meaning that we obviously were there at one time. We need raised again. Man was seated properly in the Garden of Eden with God. Everything was proper in divine order. When man fell, God immediately put his plan of salvation into motion, cut a covenant with Abraham to gain access again into the earth, made promises that a seed would come, that single solitary seed would come into the earth, that seed would fall into the ground and die. When it did, a whole generation, a whole world system that we were born in fell in the ground and died. He said, I come to do his will. This is the will of him that sent me, and I will raise him up again. You know what he's saying there? I come to do your will, Father. I'm going to raise man again into the rightful place with you. I'm straightened, Father, until it happens. I've got to do your will. I don't come in my own accord. I come to do your will, Father. I'm going to restore man again and raise him up again and sitting back down with you in heavenly places. My friend, that's already happened. This is the Father's will that sent me, that of all which he'd given me, I would lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. Once at the end of the world system, he raised you up again at the last day of your old man. Glory! If you didn't get it the first time, he repeated himself. This is the will of him that sent me, verse 40. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him has everlasting life. You're saved right there. Has everlasting life. And everyone say, and I will raise him up at the last day of the old man. He declared an end of the last day. Your new man has been situated, has been seated with him in heavenly places. He kept saying, I come to do your will. By John 17, he said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am. For where I am, there they may be also. I've come to do it, Father. I'm about to go to the cross. We're going to get this thing accomplished, and man's going to be seated with you again in a garden kind of like the first one, but this one's going to be a heavenly garden called heavenly places, and then we'll once again be able to bless man with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We'll be able to seat them. They'll gain access to us again. They can come and fellowship. And more importantly, Father, they can come and receive your love as worshipers of spirit. They can come and have a capacity of their spirit to receive the love that you have. I kind of like it. Now we'll understand John 8. Go to John 8 real quick. I like it. I love it. I want more of it. I will raise him up. Everyone say, I have been raised up. I'm not waiting to be raised up. I have been raised up. You know that little degree that clicks in you like that? Those kind of things is what launches you. It's what launches you into your position, understanding that. If you keep waiting for something to happen, you'll never move into what already has happened. We have an anchor, so whither the forerunner has went. The forerunner went in through the veil. If he's the forerunner, that means the other runners run after him into the veil. Amen? Father, I will they be with me where I am. I'm with you, Father. They're with me. We're all at the right hand. You're at the right hand now. Now watch this, verse 51. Now I understand this scripture. John 8, 51. Verily, verily. Verily, 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 verily. I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he will never see death. You know they strove with that one. What do you mean a man will never see death? Everyone's got to die. They all saw death. What does this mean? What was the saying he wanted them to keep? If a man keep my saying, he would never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know thou hast a devil. We thought it just before. It has been confirmed. How'd you like to be the one that walked with him? They come to you for the answers. You're his disciples. Tell us what he means. Don't ask me. Ask him. He said, Abraham's dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste of death? What? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Boy, he really threw him a loop after that. He said, listen, before Abraham was, I am. They picked up stones. This is one of the times he passed through. He did this often. They picked up the stones, and I am going to learn this one. I'm going to find out how to pass through the crowd that's got the stones. I want to pass through. I mean, if I can, you know, escape a stoning, I'm all for it. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil. I want to know how you pass through. Boy, he ticked them off. You know, they were wanting to kill him. They were agitated. Well, you know what did it? When he walked in there on the Sabbath day and raised that man of 38 years, boy, they were mad from day one when he did that. He said he healed on the Sabbath. Not knowing he was the Sabbath. He was representing the rest of the right hand. There's no death can live in the right hand. As long as I'm here, there'll be no death living. And anybody comes in contact with the right hand of the Father will see life. If any man keep my saying, he will never see death. I want to know what his saying is. John 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you will seek me. Now, he's talking to the ones who wanted to kill him. You got to understand that. They were mad at him, and they made it known. If you'll read through there from chapter 5 on, they expressed themselves often of their displeasure. He said, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. He told them that. Now, in chapter 14, he told Peter, he goes, where I go, you can't come now, but you can come afterwards. Because where I go to the Father, there's no way to him right now. That's why I came into the earth. I'm going to go by way of a cross. And when I go by way of the cross, I'm going to come back and get you because I've built a bridge to the Father. And I'm going to raise you up to where he is. That's why I came. Not just to save you from the sin, but to raise you up and sit with us in heavenly places. That you can know all the love I've known for all eternity. You can know that same love. Boy, I got a barrel full last night. Hallelujah. Because I've been asking the Lord about his power. I said, Lord, we represent the right hand. There's demonstration that comes. It's a testimony that comes with that message. I mean, the real power. He said, before I released my power, I want you to know my love. Because the first thing I want you to receive from the right hand is, of course, the knowledge of the right hand, but gaining entrance into that place, I want you to experience the love of the Father the way I experience the love of the Father.
You want me to come down and love you where you are, and I do. There's only so much of that kind of love you're going to get. When you come to where he is, we've got to learn how to climb up in the lap of Daddy God. He's made a way. He's raised us up, and he's asking us to believe that. And when you can believe that, you've been given entrance and access. How do I believe? You keep hearing it and keep hearing it and keep hearing it until the light comes on. When the light comes on, your faith will grab that light and you'll move in. Booyah. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. Then said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above, but I'm coming to change that. But you're not listening to me. He says, you are of this world, but I am not of this world. I didn't come for that reason. I'm going to come in and introduce you to my world. Now, here's the sayings. He said, verily I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he will never see death. How many of you don't want to see death? I don't see death. Y'all want to know what that means? John 8, here's the sayings. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now he's got a different story. The ones, he said, where I'm going, you cannot come. But the ones who have believed on him, which we're going to get into in a minute, is that no man can come to me lest the Father draw him. I'm thinking, gee, I'm glad I was chosen of the Father to be drawn. What about the rest of the world that weren't drawn? I asked the Lord about that last night. It says, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And I'm like, every one of us, 99% of us in here, the Father's drawn. We were drawn. What about the rest of the world? Did the Father just decide not to draw them? Would y'all like to know that mystery too? I would certainly want to know that one. Look at verse 31 first, though. Then said Jesus to those who believed on him. Here's what he was talking about. If a man come to me, he'll never see death. If he keeps my saying, here's the saying he was talking about right here. Don't miss this. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, and here's the word he was talking about, if you keep my saying, you'll never see death. He's going to tell them how this happens right here. He said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, because I'm going to ask you to continue now. You're going to have to come down a path with me now. Then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, we shall be made free? Because you don't even know your state you were born in. Jesus answered and said, verily I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He said, listen, you were enslaved to sin. I know you're my covenant people, but you were enslaved with the sin just like the rest of the world because you were born in that state. And that's what I've come to do something about. And if you'll keep my saying what I'm about to say to you, you will never taste death. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of it, but the servant will abide not in the house forever. He goes, everything's changing now. Those that are servants to that fallen nature will not abide in my house because I'm changing. The Son will abide. You see that? If the Son, therefore, make you free, you will be free indeed. If you'll continue to follow me through the cross, where I am, there you will be also. And when I translate you out of darkness into light, I'll call an end to the world system as you know it, and it'll be the last day for your old man. I'll recreate you and give you a new man, and I will raise you up in that last day of your old man. I'll raise your new man up. And he that keeps this saying and goes through this process, you, your new man, you will never see death. Not the way God considers death. You might see death of a body, but your spirit will never see death. Because you were seated in life. And the death that we know is not a death like heaven. Look, 97 years, that body, your mom's body made it 97 years. She didn't see death. Her body saw it, but her new man. Because he declared an end that day That old man died that day. He declared the end of the world. Everything from that point on is life. Everything from that point on is eternity. You're in eternity. You may have a body that keeps you attached to this earth, but your spirit, man, will never see death. You'll just pass through. Your body might see it, but not who you are at the core of your being. That man is not dead any longer. He is alive. He has been raised up. Everyone say, I have been raised. I will never see death. This body might see it, but not my new man. Instantaneous, the day my body gives way, my new man is launched. I don't want to wait. I have access now. Everyone say, booyah. I will not see death.
Boy, when you get the revelation of that, like the early church, they weren't afraid of death. They had the revelation, said, just send me on home. Yeah, we feel the sadness when someone leaves, but they're up there saying, please, don't feel sad for me. Have another bite of this gushy fruit from the heaven. Look at they're crying over me, and I'm enthroned in glory. Father, bless them. Help them. I'm in glory. I'm at home in the right hand where I belong. I will never see death. Everyone say, I will never see death. You are not a sinner that's saved by grace. You were a sinner that was saved, but now you're a son, because the son abideth in the house forever. You were a slave to sin, but you followed him. You knew the truth. The truth sets you free. You went through. You went through. You're a new man. That old nature, God declared an end. He said, that's the last day of that old man. I will now raise you up in the last day of your old man. The true part of you come up to where I am and sit with me and my Father, because I made a way where there was no way. Hallelujah. Woo! I will never see death. I don't have to be afraid. Yeah, come on. I will never see death. Never. I'm already seated. I'm already raised. My old man was crucified, buried. My new man has been raised. I will never see death. Whew.
Man, that is a revelation. Booyah. I want to share with you the Father's drawing. Got to get that revelation. And I had a question, because I'm in John 6 and this stuff was exploding last night. And then I ran across this. He said, no man come unto me lest the Father draw him. I'm like, that's just not fair. That's just not fair. How can you do that? I mean, I'm glad that I was drawn. I mean, don't get me wrong. But what about the one that wasn't drawn? What are you going to do with that? John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He's acting like, well, God's just up there choosing who's going to come to him. And the rest of them, well, you're on your own, you know. And to him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39, this is the Father's will, which sent me, that of all he's given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day, at the end of the world, when I come and offer my blood. All right, verse 41. These are the ones that want to kill him, that didn't like him very much. And the Jews murmured at him, because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus? That's what people do when they start murmuring. They'll start looking at your humanity. They cease to look at God flowing through you. They forget about that. They don't go back to your issues. They want to go back to humanity. They want to find some spot and some wrinkle in you. You got to watch people want to find spot and wrinkle. You hang out with people who celebrate you, not tolerate you. The ones tolerating you, they found some spot and wrinkle. They're just tolerating you now. Is this the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? I mean, we know this man. How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. Silence. Hush. Just hush. It's kind of what he said. Just hush. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Man, I had an issue with that. No man will come to me. I mean, how many of you glad that God drew you? Are there a few people you would like God to draw? How come he's not drawing them then? He drew you. He didn't feel like drawing them. I asked God, I said, well, how are you choosing up there who you draw? I mean, I'm glad I was the chosen few. You know, they'll make whole doctrines out of stuff like this. This was the election. You'll serve God and you might be counted for a whole lifetime. Ride your bikes and go door to door. You might be counted as one of the 144,000 witnesses. One of them guys come to my door. I said, my God, you're going to ride your bike all your life just so you may be counted? I said, I'm already where you want to ride your bike for the next 10 years. I'm already there. I'm already chosen. And they go, huh? It's like God's going to choose somebody and somebody else just ain't getting chosen. Does that sound like God, who so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him and whosoever he chooses to come to the Son can come, but the rest of them, it's not going to happen. This is the laws of meditation. You can't take one scripture out of context and build something off of it. You'll get in a lot of trouble, and your view of the Father will get distorted. You'll get a distorted view of the Father. Amen? Let's get into the Father's drawing a minute. John chapter 5:15. This is when he healed the impotent man of 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus which made him whole, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered, my Father hitherto is working, and I'm working with him. Therefore the Jews sought more to kill him. First they want to persecute, then they want to kill him. Because not only he had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God with his Father, making himself equal. He's addressing them again. Verse 38, he says, you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, you believe not. For whom he hath sent him, you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify me. You will not come to me that you might have life. He's addressing the same. But I know you, because you have not the love of God abiding in you. Okay? He's addressing some people here. I'm coming to my Father's name. You receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you'll receive him. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Chapter 7, 1. After these things, after chapter 6, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, in the land of Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. So there was a people that wanted not just to reject him, they wanted to kill him. Okay? Look at John chapter 6, verse 44 now. Boy, when I saw this, I got downright excited. John 6, verse 44, no man come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. You're not going to come to me unless my Father draws you to me. And I'll raise him up at the last day. John 12. Go down to verse 31. Now you're going to understand this scripture. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. What'd he say? I will draw all men unto me. Now the prince of the world be cast out. As far as I know, he hasn't left the earth. Where he was cast out was in the nature for which he fathered through the fall of Adam. He fathered the fallen nature, and he controlled the world through the world system within you. He was the prince of the power of the air, controlling the sons of disobedience that were born with a fallen nature. He goes, now judgment of the world has come. Now I'm going to do my Father's will, and I'm going to cast that system out of my people. And those who call upon me, I'm going to draw them to me, and I'm going to have them pass from death to life. And when they pass from death to life, that fallen system will be cast out of them. Isn't that awesome? I have been born from above. I am seated with him in heavenly places. I've been raised with him. And my last day happened about 23 years ago. It was the last day of my old man. I am a bona fide, certified son, new creation, heir, seated in heavenly places, right hand of the Father, devil stomping, mountain moving. Amen. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Of course, if the Father draws him. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. For he that believeth on him is not condemned, for he that believeth not was condemned already. Listen, the world was already condemned. Why would he come and condemn you more? The world was condemned through a fallen nature. Through the fall, the world was condemned. He came to transform that. So if he came to do that and let his son suffer all that, is he going to sit up there in the throne and just choose? Well, okay, you're drawn, not you, you're a goat. Get back. Drawn, goat, sheep, goat, double goat, sheep. He doesn't do that. All right, let's get into this. John 6:60. All right, this is right after he told them some things. Half his disciples walked from him. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no part in me. And they go, how can we eat his flesh? Even his own disciples, not his apostles, but these disciples said a lot of them left him. It was too hard for them. And he turned around and he turned to his 12. He said, are you going to leave too? And Peter, boy, this is one of the times he hit it. He says, thou has the words of life. How can we leave? How can we leave you? You have the words of life. He says, listen, my words are spirit and life. To those who find them, it's the spirit that quickeneth what I'm saying, not with your mind. All right. So he says that. So we're right there at the end of that. Now we're going to get into this chapter 6, verse 60. Now remember, all those unbelieving parties were there. They're all around him. Now he's going to get into this. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself the disciples murmured, he said unto them, does this offend you? No! No! What gave you that idea? Like he didn't already know? You know, people walk in the Spirit. They know. They might not tell you, but they know what's going on. I'm a feeler. I know when something's going on. I just know it. I wish I could see it sometime. But then the seers wish they wouldn't see it all the time. I said, I wish I wouldn't have seen that. I'm like, God, I wish I wouldn't have felt it. Because I know. I used to not trust it. But I trust it. Boy, when I know something's wrong. I know. I can feel it. So now I'll sit up all night grieving. Verse 62, I love this. He goes, this offend you? And if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, what if you watch me ascend right in front of you? He goes, actually, I've come to show you how that works, but I can't get you to even understand my word. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they're spirit and life. But there's some of you that believe not. Really? But there's some of you that believe not. Look at this. It's the same chapter, by the way. He said, no man come unto me unless the Father draw him. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I said unto you, this is why I said this, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, is he speaking from his earthly position, any man come to me? Or is he speaking to post-cross position after he's paid in blood? If the Son be lifted up, then I will draw all men. Once I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to where I am. He said, no man can come to me unless it was given to him of his Father, because he discerned they believe not. And here's what he was saying. He says, any man come unless the Father draw him, he can't come. Once Christ has ascended and he's paid the price in blood, that price and that invitation's to the entire world. But those who reject him, that will not surrender to him, that will persecute the cross, they cannot and will not be drawn into the right hand to be born again until they humble themselves and receive by faith the sacrifice of his Son. And if they're not willing to receive that sacrifice, the Father cannot draw them any further. All he can do is extend his invitation out. But if they refuse the invitation, the Father can draw them no further into the right hand. He can't do it. Because he knew the reason he was saying, because no man can come to me unless the Father draw him. He said, listen, there are some among you, not only you don't believe, you want to kill me, you want to betray me, and you want to persecute me. You have rejected my mission. This is why I said to you, you cannot come unless the Father draw you, because he cannot draw you in that state. Let me say this. All can be drawn. It doesn't matter. God can draw the axe murderer. If they can receive and humble themselves, it requires their initial response to the word that is spoken, or them reading the word. When the word passes them, they have to respond first. Once they respond, I mean, just the inkling of the turning of the heart and said, like this, as soon as God gets that much, he'll grab them, draw them, and start pulling them. Heaven will start pulling them into the cross to receive the salvation. But if they stand there and said, no way, God has nothing to draw, he cannot even approach that. He has to wait until the heart is humbled before him, and then the Father will draw. He has to have initial faith. The response of faith to what he has said, and then he will draw with all his power. That's why the second you started just thinking about God, I remember I just started thinking about him one time. I was a drug dealer, and at night I'd start thinking about him. I'm sitting there, I have a pile of cocaine in front of me, and I'm listening to Jimmy Swaggart on TV 25 years ago at 2 a.m. And I remember the day God had got a hold of me. I took about $2,000 worth of cocaine, just threw it down the sink. That night I had an experience. The Father said, I'll take that. Come on. Come on. I mean, 2 months before, there was someone on the street. I said, look, this is the wrong place to be talking to people. That's what I said 2 months before. I wasn't ready to be drawn. I wasn't ready to yield. So my mama started praying for me. And my mom started praying for me. I started getting real empty. I'd be in them nightclubs at 3, 4 in the morning. I'm like, oh, I got empty. My emptiness opened the door one night. And when that door opened, the Father, you talk about a magnet. He's just waiting. Just give me something. Yeah! He taking draws with his power. When he starts drawing you, you can't stop it. Once you give him the invitation to draw, this is what God's going to do in the future. He's going to put on a display of power and demonstration and glory. And when they see that, all he's got to do, I mean, you take the cold, hard sinner that has just blanked, stubborn, got a brick wall, and all of a sudden they see a miracle. They said, oh my God, and just the thought, maybe he is real. And as soon as they said that maybe, God said, I'll take that. Whoa, come on. And he starts drawing them in. As soon as they break the veil in that initial surrender, he'll seize and start drawing them into the cross. You're talking about a God who loves you. He's not sitting up there choosing who's a sheep or who's a goat. You choose that. He doesn't choose that. He wants to draw you. He'll wait for the last day. I don't care how many sins a man's committed. Axe murder, sitting inside of a prison. He'll keep waiting. I can't draw him. I can't draw him. I can't draw him. His hardened. Some people will go all the way through with hardness of heart. Never open a door. I don't know how people can do that. But the second they open that door, he'll move into that and start drawing them to the Son. Say, look, he's the way to me, but come on, I'm going to help you and I'm going to draw you in. Isn't that good?